UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Freshmen who enrolled early, available to the media yesterday and today, and that also includes transfers, and Joey Gatewood is one of them. He's the Auburn transfer. Remember, he got beaten out by Bo Nix at Auburn, and so now he's coming to UK, and he's just a straight transfer. There's no indication that he would at all be immediately eligible, and yet a lot of the analysis of the Kentucky football team is like, and if Joey Gatewood can get a waiver and be immediately eligible, and you're like, well, why would he get a waiver? Like, it's a straight transfer purely for playing time. Like, there's been not a hint of anything untoward. I'm not aware of any family situation. I'm not aware of any turmoil. I'm not aware of any financial consideration. This is as straightforward a transfer as there possibly is. So why in the world would he get a waiver? Well, yesterday was a chance to find out because Joey Gatewood met the media. So it's like, hey, Joey, why would you request a waiver? Yeah, I don't want to talk about that. Well, what the hell? Like, so you cannot blame me as a media for going, why would he get a waiver when they won't even say why he's asking for a waiver? Maybe I misread the article because I have done that in the past. This is in the Lexington Herald Leader, Kentucky.com, and it just said Gatewood offered no insight on why he's requesting a waiver. Offered no insight. Well, I mean, you have to have a reason to request a waiver other than just I want one. Although that
Johnny tight lips. I ain't saying nothing. I understand. How is your mother?
Well, wait, who says I have a mother?
I mean, no, and again, he may have been the nicest guy in the world. I'm not trying to, but I mean, like, if we're gonna cover Joey Gatewood as if there's some kind of waiver possibility, then you need to tell us why you're asking for a waiver. I don't even think that's getting too personal. I don't think that's making some request that's untoward or anything else. It was just weird. And Gatewood, by the way, I feel like people are going to way overrate this guy based on his recruiting ranking as opposed to his demonstrated actual performance at Auburn. But that's a whole other conversation. Let's just wait and see if the guy's eligible. Every article you read about Kentucky football is, yeah, and if Gatewood gets a waiver, I'm like, well, why would he get a waiver? And Lexington Herald Leader, he offered no insight. Well, okay, that's where we are. So there you go. Let's wrap things up for the Midday Rush. Don't drive slowly in the left lane. Appreciate you listening. At Lock Talk on Twitter, LACHTALK. At Nikki V ESPN, if you want to follow. I'll go into Bob mode. Fat-headed producer, or is it big-headed? Which one is it? Which one are you?
It's big-headed. That
Sorry.
Was mean.
I can't remember. And I am mean all the time. What else is new? Anyway, at Nikki V ESPN, at Nikki Vespin. End of the Midday Rush. Let's remind you who you're listening to and then start the V Show. I thought you were going to play the Bob music to start the V Show now. Didn't we talk about that? I'll sing it.
Dun, 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 because you called me a fathead.
Dun, 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 All right, it is the V Show here on ESPN 680, 105.7. I mean, you want to talk about a show that is associated with a song. Like, I got my little Union of the Snake, Duran Duran, at the start of my show for 10 years at the other place, and it airs here. But it's, I mean, this is every single rejoin is that song, right? I mean, this
just
is
the top of the hour once. But when you first started,
it was every rejoin.
No, Andy like came in and was like, Nick, you can play other songs.
I mean, my God, I was like, because I was just a listener like you guys, and I was like, I cannot tell you how many times in my life I've heard that song.
Just a young little spunky producer. I had no idea what I was doing.
You could say that. Well, what's the difference?
Now, I was going to say, yeah, you took that softball away from me.
Completely.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I can play other songs. Neat. It's a, yeah,
all right. Texters are saying they still can't hear you. Turn up your mic some more.
There we go. Yeah. Like, okay. Something's changed with my settings, wherever they are, because I used to be at this level, and that's when everyone was like saying I was coming in the Kool-Aid man.
Yeah, blowing up.
Yeah. So I guess now I just have to pot it up higher. So
all right. Now I look in my headphones, which I don't know if that represents the radio universe. I can hear myself fine and I can hear you fine. So we're going to go with that.
Yeah,
and right. We would like to hear from you, the texters. And I guess because it's Bob's show, we'll take some calls, I guess. So the text line is 437-9680. The phone number is 267-9680? Okay, they're both 9680. All right, well, there you go. So just weigh in. Obviously, you know what we're talking about. It is Louisville's just embarrassment last night against Georgia Tech. I feel like if you've been listening for 2 hours, you're going to hear some of the similar points. I appreciate you doing it. But for the new folks who are just in their lunch break or whatever else, Louisville just took a major step backwards last night. There's no other way to sugarcoat it. You can't put enough lipstick on this pig. Georgia Tech is not a very decent basketball team. They're not even remotely an NCAA team. Of course, they're banned from playing in that anyway. But they'd be lucky to be in the NIT at this point. And they led from beginning to end, and they didn't even play well. And that's the thing we just kind of were talking a little bit about at the end of last hour. It wasn't like, well, Georgia Tech played their game of the year to beat you. Georgia Tech's leading scorer, DeVoe, went 2 for 9 from the field, had 5 turnovers and 5 assists. They had nothing at all off their bench. Georgia Tech bench points combined 2. They had their best player, Jose Alvarado, get 3 fouls with 5 minutes to go in the first half and have to go to the bench. Georgia Tech didn't even play well. So you've got a Georgia Tech team who's not even that good, and then they didn't play well, and they still led Louisville every single second of the game, right? Was there even a second? Yeah, time with the lead. 0:00 for Louisville against Georgia Tech. So that's a bad loss. It takes a 1 seed out of the equation for Louisville. Not that I never thought really a 1 seed was in the picture for the Cards anyway, but certainly a 1 seed out of the equation. And it makes you reevaluate the 10-game win streak. If we're being honest, the 10-game win streak and the 21-3 record was nice, but as I had said repeatedly on the midday rush, it was accomplished with the absence of very many quality wins other than Duke. But if you do what they like to call the lock leave out, if you say that was Louisville and David Johnson at their absolute best, and you say besides Duke, what is Louisville? They'd have been a 20-3 team with no wins over a team that's 100% sure to make the NCAA tournament. They could have been, again, take out Duke, 20-3, and you don't know Virginia's going to make it. You don't know Michigan's going to make it. You don't know NC State's going to make it. You don't know Akron's going to make it. They could have been a 20-3 team with no wins over a team that was a sure thing to make the NCAA tournament. Well, what about if a team from the West Coast Conference or the Mountain West or the Big West or the Atlantic 10 was 20-3 and had no wins over a team that's a sure thing to make the NCAA tournament? What would you say? You'd say, well, that record's deceptive. You can't believe in that team. Why would I trust Dayton or San Diego State or Gonzaga or insert St. Joe's or all these teams that compile really scintillant Murray State back in the day? If they have not beaten. So basically, the idea that Louisville was in Louisville, basically, besides Duke, and I'm going to add Duke back in, but besides Duke, Louisville, even going into last night's game, even as the 5th-ranked team in the nation, was not very different from Dayton, Gonzaga, and San Diego State. And there is no respect among Louisville fans for those. Like, or Kentucky fans. I mean, I hear it all the time. Oh, give me San Diego State in the tournament. I want San Diego State all day. I want Gonzaga as my 1 seed. If I got to face a 1, I want that. Dayton, I don't care. Give me Dayton. I'll smack Dayton around. You're no different. You're no different than Dayton, San Diego State, and Gonzaga, except for Duke. So fine, let's add Duke back in. When you added Duke back in, you could say that's what made Louisville, if you wanted to in your mind, better than San Diego State, Gonzaga, Dayton, all the chestiness that the Cardinal Nation would have about we're better than these no-name teams. We're a brand. We're Louisville. And we beat Duke. And you couldn't argue. You could say, hey, besides Duke, your resume is severely lacking, but you beat Duke at Duke, and you didn't have any bad losses. Now all of a sudden, you have a bad loss. And you know who doesn't have a bad loss? Dayton and Gonzaga and San Diego State, right? Although I guess Gonzaga's loss to Washington looks worse and worse and worse the more Washington loses. But the point about last night is it changes the narrative about Louisville is, yeah, we didn't beat anyone good. You know, we've lost three of the best four teams Louisville's played. They've lost three of them, but we don't have any bad losses. Now you got a bad loss. There's just no way to sugarcoat that's a bad loss. And it's only a quad two loss, and I've heard a couple people make the point Georgia Tech could win a few games, get into the top 75, and then a road loss against a top 75 net team would be a quad one loss, but that doesn't make it any better. It's still like just an – I mean, it would better. It wouldn't. I should take that back. It would make it better to have a quad one loss. It would take away some of the sting, but it's just a – it's one of the talking points when you were trying to defend Louisville as a truly elite team that should be thought of as a national championship contender, one of them got taken away last night. There's no other way to say it. So that's problematic. That's point one. Point two, Jordan Wara's complete disappearance is problematic because last year at the end of the year, his game disintegrated. His game deteriorated. And I don't know if that's happening this year. Obviously, he had the huge effort against Boston College. But besides that, Jordan Wara has not been the guy that he was the first half of the season. He has not been that guy lately. And yesterday was a complete and total no-show. I mean, just no-show to the point that Chris Mack couldn't put him in the game, couldn't have him on the floor for crunch time down the stretch. Your best player, the preseason ACC player of the year, couldn't be on the floor. Like, that's so troubling. And then Chris Mack calls him out after the game. Nick, let's get that sound ready. He was asked, what's up with Jordan Wara? And he basically came out. Listen to the disdain in Chris Mack's voice as he talks about why he was disappointed with Wara.
I mean, they put a, 5'11", 6-foot tough kid on him. And we run post-up plays. Jordan can't figure out how to be tough enough to hold a guy off and lay the ball in.
They put a 5'11 tough kid on him. We run post-ups, and Jordan can't figure out how to be tough enough to hold him off and lay the ball in. I mean, that's a coach who's just disgusted with his player. And that's coaching. Like, I'm sure he's saying it privately. So I appreciate the openness and the transparency of Chris Mack. But for a guy, right? For a guy who his play down the stretch last year was a big factor in why Louisville went from 16-1 to losing 9 of their last 13. Sutton also played a role, but Jordan Wara's shooting percentage really slumped down the stretch last year. For your best player to no-show against Kentucky, that's one thing, rivalry game, throw it out. This is Kentucky Square. This is no-show to levels. I mean, 2 points, couldn't be on the floor, and then the coach calls him out as not tough. I've been making the point about Louisville that one of the things you like about the Cardinals is they kind of knew who they were. The guys understood their roles. They had it clicking. Start the tournament. Like, let's go if you're a Louisville fan because you're kind of as good as you're going to get. You might as well get the postseason rolling and see what you do. It's still going to be a roll of dice. Still going to be a crapshoot. But at least you feel like you're where you want to be. And to have Wara show up or not show up to that level is you're not where you want to be. So that's kind of scary. So that's another one. The Malik Williams and David Johnson were the only two guys that played well. So let me at least give them a little bit of shout out. Certainly for Bob's show, he would want to talk about some of the positives. Malik Williams and David Johnson. Williams got 6 offensive rebounds by himself. Georgia Tech had 7 for the game. I mean, Malik Williams had 16-8. And then obviously David Johnson's ability to drive the ball to the basket late kept Louisville in it and gave them a chance to tie it in regulation when obviously Fresh Kimball dribbled it off his leg. So those are two guys that deserve plaudits. Dwayne Sutton just kind of did what Dwayne Sutton does, which is 9 points and 10 rebounds, and missed has all his threes and everything else. And the threes are, they are what they are. I mean, that was an aberration. That Louisville 3-for-24 from three. They're a 44% three-point shooting team in conference play. Going 3-for-24, that's just bad luck. I mean, I don't know that that's coaching or anything else. It's just bad luck. Ryan McMahon, 1-for-8. The only thing I said is if McMahon's 1-for-8, he doesn't need to play 20 minutes. If McMahon's 1-for-8, he needs to play 10 minutes. Well, he shouldn't have even had the chance to get 8 shots up if he's If he goes 1 for 5, you got to go, Bryant, it's not your night. Sorry. But I get it. Coaches are like, nope, he's always, you know, 1 or 2 shots away from draining a big one and whatever. And certainly that stretch when McMahon and Williams hit back-to-back threes got Louisville back in the game. So to some extent, I get while he's playing. But, I mean, it is shocking. You look at this box score of Wara played a horrible game. Kimball and Perry played a horrible game. McMahon played a horrible game. And you had 4 of your 9 guys played horrible basketball. So if you want to go bright side on it, Georgia Tech, again, the win may or the loss may look better as the season goes by. If Georgia Tech can accumulate enough wins to get into the top 75, it may become a quad one loss. So that won't be as bad. And the fact that you had your best player score only 2 points and you had 4 of your 9 rotation guys just no show and you still had a chance to tie it at regulation, I guess you can take that as a positive. But in general, that is a negative, negative outcome last night. And it takes away the narrative that Louisville should be in the conversation for one of the real contenders to win a championship. And right now, that list, to me, it's the one seeds, and I don't know that anyone even believes in Gonzaga or San Diego State. So we're getting the point. It's like Baylor and Kansas are going, and maybe Duke. I don't, nobody, there's brand snobbery going on. So nobody, no matter what they do, is going to believe in Dayton, San Diego State, or Gonzaga. No matter what they do. We are brand snobs in college basketball, and they're just not going to get the benefit of the doubt.
They can be kind of rude for them.
Me too. Oh, me too. If Virginia can't do it, I'm like, let's get one of these little guys. What the hell? But, yeah, I mean, it's Kansas, Baylor, and Duke. And I don't even know how good Duke is. I don't know. It's just a weird year for college basketball. But Louisville was trying to position themselves on a certain point on the spectrum of college basketball as a team that really you should anticipate being in legitimate competition for the Final Four. And you'd be surprised if they didn't make it. I've always been, I'll be surprised if they did make it, simply because of the 4 toughest games they've played, they've lost 3 of them. And I just, they hadn't proven enough to me to believe that they could win 2 or 3 games in a row against tough competition. But what I did think about Louisville is I feel really confident they were going to get to the Sweet 16 because they hadn't stumbled against inferior competition. Now they've taken that away. The other Louisville angle, and then we'll get to some texts because they've been coming in all day, is now the change to the starting lineup conversation, which is what I predicted. I said Louisville's rolling. Again, if you don't listen to the Midday Rush, you miss all kinds of Nostradamus-like predictions. But I said Louisville's rolling, 10 in a row, 21-3. I can't even imagine what their issues are, right? Everything is going right with Louisville basketball. They're scoring. They beat Virginia. They're defending pretty well. They're shooting it. They're deep. If one guy doesn't play well, another guy steps up. I said, I can't even imagine, like, what would cause Louisville to lose other than, you know, you have letdown games. But I said what the narrative would be after a Louisville loss. I said, but if Louisville loses, it'll probably be something like change the starting lineup. David Johnson into the starting lineup. And lo and behold, thanks to some prompting from Chris Mack, who kind of gave hints in the postgame radio interview that he was considering changing the starting lineup, that's been all the talk. Diener and Blankenbaker this morning, Mabin Rummage. David Johnson needs to go in the starting lineup. And again, I'll say it. I've said it every hour I've been on the air. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't for a variety of reasons. Most importantly, his assist-to-turnover ratio is not nearly good enough to be a starting point guard in the ACC. That doesn't mean he doesn't have huge value at the end of games to get to the basket. But when you think about it, what does David Johnson do really, really well that's not predicated on his drive to the basket? All the assists that you stand out in your mind, that you visualize, well, that one assist when he found the guy, when it's great court vision, yes, it was predicated on a drive to the basket. And all the baskets, the crucial baskets against Virginia, the big takes at the end of Georgia Tech, drives to the basket. I'm not as sold as others that his game is well-rounded enough that if teams make an effort to take that away, and let's not put David Johnson in the Hall of Fame. He's not so good that if teams decide on the scouting report, take away his drive, make it a priority, what happens to his game then? He's not a great outside shooter. He's not a great free throw shooter. Again, this is not to diminish what a valuable member of the Louisville Cardinals he is and what an important role he plays in the end of the games and how crucial it is to have a guy who can put his head down and has the confidence to drive for the basket and then either score or find a guy wide open for 3. But the reason that's working now is because David Johnson isn't starting and is only playing 20 minutes a game. No one's game planning for David Johnson. If you put him in the starting lineup and say, go ahead, start the game with those drives to the basket, he's getting game planned for, that's getting taken away, and then you're left with a point guard who has a bad assist-to-turnover ratio and some questionable decision-making and not a great outside shooter. David Johnson's role with this team is exactly what it needs to be. That doesn't mean you can't give him more minutes. Go ahead. But if you're 25 games into the season and we're hitting mid-February, the stretch run of the season, and you're scrapping the starting lineup that you've had for the last month because you hope that David Johnson can do X, Y, and Z, that's a panic desperation move. And a 21-4 team shouldn't be panicking. Now, if you want to put Malik Williams in for Stephen Enoch, I don't look at that in the same way. Those guys are pretty interchangeable to me. I don't think it matters who starts. Whoever's playing better, give him the minutes. Life goes on. That's what happened last night. Enoch starts. He's not playing well. Williams gets twice the minutes. Enoch had 14. Williams had 28. Okay, fine. I don't. Who starts at center for Louisville is not going to change the outcome or the expectations of this team. But changing your starting backcourt with 10 games left or 25 games into the season, so 6 games left, right? Is that right in the regular season to play 31 games? They only got 6 left? Boy, this season end is just sneaking up on us. They really only have 6 regular season games left? Now I got to check this. Yeah, 6 games left. You just change the starting lineup with 6 games left, it's panic. And I don't think you need to panic. I think you need to acknowledge that was a bad, bad effort. You lost to a mediocre team that didn't even play well. And that forces you to reevaluate some of your expectations for Louisville. You don't need to change your starting lineup, especially putting in a guy at point guard who doesn't have a good assist-to-turnover ratio. And again, that will be interpreted as critical of David Johnson. It's not. He's really good. He plays an important part. He gives Louisville an upside that they didn't have earlier in the year. He just shouldn't be your starting point guard. Not until he demonstrates a better ability to take care of the ball. Even last night, when you're going to rave about David Johnson, those late drives and everything else, 4 turnovers, 2 assists. That can't be the ratio for your starting point guard. So anyway, Louisville basketball, topics of conversation, and we're happy to hear from you guys at 437-9680. Indiana basketball is playing tonight against Iowa. We keep touching on this. The Hoosiers are in the midst of a losing streak, and they are really desperate for a win to get out of that slide. I don't know that they're going to. If they lose to Iowa tonight, that'll be, let me just say, they'll drop to 5-8 in the Big Ten. It'll be a 5th straight loss. And again, they will be underdogs in their next 5 games after this. So that would be a 5-game losing streak and underdogs in the next 5 after that. You're looking at the exact same thing that happened last year to Indiana basketball, which is a complete and total meltdown in the second half of the season. And Archie Miller is one of the 10 highest paid coaches in the sport, or was when he signed his contract. Let me take that back. When he signed his deal, when they hired him, he was the 8th highest paid coach in the sport. I don't know where he is now, but I looked up Archie Miller's buyout. It's fully guaranteed. His contract, they have to pay every penny of his initial contract, which was a $24 million deal. They have to pay every penny of the amount that's remaining if they fire him before March 31st, 2022. So he's got 2 more years, and they would be now at about $3.5 million a year. Every time he works a year, right? I mean, that's another $3.5 that you've paid him. But so the point is, if they wanted to fire him after this year, the way I do the math, $14 million. Oof, I don't know. I mean, unless Mark Cuban cuts that check or whatever, but I don't. I mean, IU, again, they may be upset Iowa tonight, maybe get it done, whatever. But they are looking at exactly what happened last year, which is a meltdown down the stretch, not making the NCAA tournament for a 4th consecutive year, which would be the worst stretch for Indiana basketball. And a lot of the numbers you see say worst stretch in 40 years. No, it's the worst stretch in 100 years. We did on there's an article at thedailyhoosier.com. IU hasn't missed the tournament for 4 straight years in 40 years, but 40 years ago, the tournament, you only got 1 team per conference. So like IU could be the 2nd best team in the Big Ten and miss the tournament. If you took the current tournament standards about what it takes to make the tournament and say, well, you know, reflected backwards, when's the last time IU's been so bad that they wouldn't have made the tournament if the tournament were 68 teams in that era? It's the 1930s. Or is it the 1918? It might be earlier. Anyway, the point is, it's like 100 years since IU's been in a stretch this bad if they don't make the tournament this year. So they've got some issues. But keep your eye on Indiana and Iowa tonight. There is some big-time heat I think, starting to build on Archie Miller. One other basketball note, Kentucky. You know what? There's a good article in the Herald Leader today about Emmanuel Quickley. I want to address that tomorrow in the Midday Rush because I want to give it more time. But I think Quickley's emergence is kind of interesting. And will he be back at UK next year? That's something we're going to talk about in the Midday Rush tomorrow. But you can drop a text to me if you want. Alabama-Auburn last night in basketball. The only reason I bring this up is an amazing thing from the box score. Alabama lost to Auburn last night in overtime, 95-91. Alabama shot 59 threes. They shot 59 three-pointers. They took 84 shots overall, and of those 84, 59 three-point attempts. 22 for 59, 37%. So not too shabby. That's probably why they forced overtime. They made 22 threes in a game and lost. And lost. Because, oh, by the way, Auburn wins it in overtime. Alabama makes 22 threes. Alabama, and again, I don't know anything about this game, but you lose a game in overtime, and Alabama shot 56% from the free throw line. You got to figure there was some clunkers there. But, yeah, that was just a basketball score of note that I thought was interesting. All right, we are going to play the sound from the Houston Astros owner, not now, after a break, giving a fake apology for the sign-stealing scandal. So we'll hit that. A pretty funny thing here, the word-for-word verbatim complaints to the FCC after the Super Bowl halftime show. Some of those are pretty funny. We'll share those as well. But let's get to the text line, 437-9680. Lock. When UK has a bad loss, it's doom and gloom. UK basketball is finished. Cal's lost it. When Louisville loses, well, I guess they're not a 1C, but it's not that bad of a loss. God bless your inability to listen, sir. I literally just finished saying for 26 minutes you have to change the entire narrative of what Louisville is. They're no longer considered a threat to win the national championship. But you're right. That's what I said. It's not that bad a loss. You totally got me. I don't know what to do with people. Text line, no way to sugarcoat last night. Abysmal performances, one of the worst in years. It scares me to death. We always seem to get off to a cold start and have to punch up all game to win. Well, you can't say always. You didn't get off to a cold start against Virginia. You got off to the hottest start you can possibly get off to. You just couldn't hold on to it. Text line, no excuse for last night. Wara was terrible, but insinuating Wara is fading down the stretch is aggressive. 21-7 and 21-7 in the games before last night. If I did give that insinuation, let me be clear. I had not checked the numbers, so I don't know whether. I just know last year his shooting percentage slumped badly in the last third of the season, and I know this year he had gone from being a 20-point scorer to his average is now down to 17.8. But from a shooting percentage, let's see. Wake Forest, a game where he had 21 points. Well, he had a bunch of threes. Yeah, okay. Before that, he was been on fire. He was 9 for 16 from three in the two games before Georgia Tech. So no slump there. But then against NC State, he was 3 for 13. Against Boston College, that was his 37-point game. Obviously, he went nuts there. Against Clemson, 10 points. Against Georgia Tech in Louisville, 10 points. Against Duke, 6 points. So let's just do it that way. In his last 8 games, Jordan Wara has 10 or fewer points 4 times. His last 8 games, he has 10 or fewer points half the time. I don't think it's too bad to insinuate he's fading, given that he had 10 or fewer points how many times over his first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 straight games, 11 or more to start the year, and now half the time he's giving you 10 or less. Now, obviously, the competition level changes, but I don't think it's actually too unfair to say he's fading a little bit. Text line, Fresh Kimball had his foot stepped on and lost his shoe. Is that a trip or foul in any way? I don't remember when he had this. I have a vague memory. I don't remember exactly when or where that happened, but it wasn't on the final drive when they were down 2. And so, is that a trip or foul? No, I guess it's incidental contact. Text line: My God, Bob is the sickest person ever. No comment. No, I'm just messing. We want Bob to get healthy. You could hear him yesterday. He was coming down with something. Text her 437-9680. We'll see if it was just a clunker or something more. The one certain thing is that Johnson and Williams need to be in the starting lineup. No reason to start the first 6-8 minutes as bad as they do game after game. Another thing I'll say, though, okay, fine. Let's go, Texter. You want to put David Johnson in the starting lineup. Who are you putting at the two guard? Because Mac really likes Fresh Kimball as a leader and as a defender. And most of the time in these late-game situations, he's been playing Johnson and Kimball. So if you go with Johnson as your starting point guard, you're in a sense playing Kimball as a 6'2". So go, no. Fresh Kimball's your point guard. You're just bringing in Johnson, and he can drive the ball when he needs to. But if that's the case, then you're not taking advantage of what you say David Johnson's ability is, which is to be on the ball and have his court vision and drive. It's just, I'm not sure it's as easy as everyone says to just go, put David Johnson in as a starter and give him 30 minutes and all your problems are solved. A, I don't think Johnson's game is at that level. And B, who else do you play? Who do you play with him? It's easier to make those adjustments while the game is in progress. Text line, yes. Texters like that last UK fan are why Locke dislikes UK more than U of L, understandably so. I don't dislike either school. I dislike obnoxious fans, and yes, you are onto something. There is no one more thin-skinned than UK fans, and Louisville fans give it a run sometimes, but it's just unbelievable what you say and what they hear. It gets frustrating. Text line, because Cards lose to Georgia Tech, they can no longer win the title. By that logic, half the field will be eliminated. UK lost to Evansville. Yeah, UK can't win the title. Duke lost to Stephen F. Austin, et cetera. Yeah, I wouldn't pick Duke to win the title either. I think I made that clear. I mean, somebody's going to end up winning it. But if you're going to ask me, am I going to confidently say that team A, B, or C, and I really like their chances to win the title, there's going to be fewer this year than ever. There are going to be more teams that can win the title. But there's going to be fewer than I can ever imagine where I'm like, no, I really like this team's chances. I mean, Louisville can do a bunch of things. Kentucky, I don't think Kentucky can win a title at all. But I mean, that Vanderbilt just was confirmation. I've been saying that since like day one when I said they were overrated in the preseason. I mean, it hasn't taken, that one hasn't required a pivot or a data change or anything else. Kentucky was overrated in the preseason. Then they lost to Evansville. And pretty much since then, I've said Kentucky's not winning a title. Now, Louisville, I said Monday, you don't listen to the Midday Rush, that's totally understandable. I will be surprised if Louisville makes the Final Four. I said that before the Georgia Tech game. So I'm not changing or pivoting or anything else. I will be surprised if Louisville makes the Final Four. It's not impossible because sports happens. Text line, do you think Matt could better use his timeouts early? Seems like he's awfully hesitant to call one early. I'll keep an eye on that. Text line, Alvarado looks like he's 32. Text line, Nick was wrong about our rejoin. The redhead from Boy Meets World is a porn star. I agree. We fixed that. Yes, Nick was wrong. That rejoin was
17 hours of research because I just wanted to make sure it wasn't a fluke, like a one-off.
Yeah.
And it wasn't.
Yeah. Text line, convince me that War is ready for the NBA. He is garbage. He's not garbage. He's a very good college basketball player who, in the last 8 games, has not scored like he was earlier in the year. Now, what does that mean for the future for Louisville? They got 6 games left, a couple in the ACC tournament. If I told you in the next 8 games Jordan War is going to score 10 points or under and a half of them, I would be concerned if I'm a Louisville fan. Text line, Jordan isn't fading, he's just streaky. Text line 437-9680, Louisville fans should be disappointed since they have one of, if not the, oldest teams playing. I agree. That's why I thought a letdown was totally foreseeable for Louisville basketball. You've had a 10-game win streak. You just got that monkey off your back with Virginia. I said it's conceivable that they will take a step backwards against either Georgia Tech or Clemson. But I didn't think it'd be Georgia Tech because I thought a mature team would realize you were down 11 at home to Georgia Tech and you barely beat them. You better take this game seriously. Louisville came out not looking like they took it seriously. Hey, Locke, you've gone from Louisville Locke to A.H. Locke. Still heard about that Virginia game, I see. You unseasoned chicken. Then the thing refreshed. I'm an unseasoned chicken something.
Chicken parm, maybe?
Huh?
I don't know.
Also,
I've been told my mic is like damn near off, so I'm going to start. I might have to hop between your legs and start messing around with
the I just kicked some button, too, so you're going to have to reset a bunch of stuff. In fact,
passive-aggressively trying to knock me
off. No, I just did it.
You son of a...
All right, look, I need to eat some Wing Zone. We want to thank the fine folks at Wing Zone for bringing by the food to the station. Delicious. They do it every Thursday. Two area locations of Wing Zone. We got Heslane near U of L, another one in Hikes Point. Both of them have the ESPN Louisville special, which is 10 boneless wings, wedges, and a drink for just $9.39. That's 7 days a week. And they just launched their Nashville Hot BBQ, so that's delicious. Check them all out at wingzone.com. We're back with more of the V-Show on ESPN Louisville after this.
A box of chocolate and a fabulous dinner, absolutely free. This is an offer only Genesis Diamonds can make. Just buy any jewelry for $199 or more, and we'll give you some fresh-cut flowers from Nans and Craft Florists, a box of chocolates, and a gift card for her dinner at Louisville's exquisite French restaurant, Brasserie Provence, on Hurstbourne Parkway. Voted best dinner spot, and you're going to love the collection of affordable Valentine's gifts we've put together. Rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, bands, all the gifts women love. Make Valentine's one to remember this year with one-stop shopping. Pick out that perfect gift to Genesis Diamonds. Spend as little as $199, and we'll give you the flowers, the chocolates, and the Brasserie Provence gift card at no charge. Our treat, Genesis Diamonds, where Louisville gets engaged. Shelbyville Road Plaza next to Trader Joe's. Supplies limited. See store for details.
Time now for an ESPN Louisville Sports Center update.
Good afternoon. I'm Nick Valvano. The Sports Center update brought to you by our friends at Baptist Sports Health Medicine, centered on you. Last night, number 5 U of L stung on the road by the Yellow Jackets. See what I did there? Losing 64-58, the Cards, they shot an anemic 33.9% from the field and 12.5% from behind the arc. Star player Jordan Wara only had 2 points post Chris Mack. Well, he wasn't too happy with Jordan's performance.
I mean, they put a, 5'11", 6 foot, tough kid on him. And we run post up plays. Jordan can't figure out how to be tough enough to hold a guy off and lay the ball.
Cards, they're next in action with Clemson after that quad 2 loss. Number 9 U of L women, they head to number 4 NC State tonight. That game will tip off at 8 o'clock. And IU, they're hosting the men. They're hosting number 21 Iowa tonight. At Assembly Hall, Archie Miller yesterday during his press conference saying that this Hawkeye team is loaded with potential.
They're smart. They really know how to play with one another. And they got an awareness about them. They got an edge about them. They don't take any BS out there. I mean, those guys are ready to play and compete. You can tell them that they believe in what they do.
That game tips at 7 on the Big Ten Network. And some UK nuggets to wrap up. KSR reporting that UK is willing to match the $1 million offer from Michigan State for tight ends coach and lead recruiter, the big dog, Vince Marrow. Also, Devin Booker, he'll be in the All-Star game. More of, well, the V-Show with Lachlan McLean coming to you next. This is SportsCenter.
Scheller's Fitness and Cycling wants you to look and feel your best in 2020. Let's focus on fitness. A new treadmill, elliptical machine, exercise bike, all of those pieces from Scheller's Fitness and Cycling can put you on the right path in 2020. Scheller's has the largest selection of fitness equipment around. That's why they're number one in fitness and cycling. Perfect for building up your home gym. 4 area locations. They're online at Scheller's.com and you're buying local when you're buying from Scheller's. Scheller's Fitness and Cycling, your fitness pros.
Celebrating ESPN Louisville receiving the Bestie Award for being Louisville's best radio station, the Seelbach Hilton is presenting a great gift for our listeners. Good now through February 2020. When there's a college basketball game at the KFC Yum Center this month, get a special ESPN 680 105.7 special room night rate that evening of only $105.70. That's 105.7 for a night at the Seelbach Hilton. Call 800-333-3399 or enter group code ESPN at Hilton.com. Availability is limited.
Yeah. crime they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from maximum security stockade to the Los Angeles underground. Today, still wanted by the government, they survive as soldiers of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can hire the A-Team.
Hey, Hannibal, you make this sucker shit up.
My God, Nick. I'm so sorry that you all had to endure that. Although, you
know, I would have started it midway through. We didn't have that 40-minute lead up. The bass drop was pretty dope.
And, no, now that it's going, I'm liking it. For those, you could have just played your regular Bob music. But for those who don't listen to the Midday Rush, which is the show I normally do, Lachlan McLean, Lock Talk, LACHTALK on Twitter, in for the ailing Bobby V today until 1 o'clock. Nick asks me to give him TV shows during the break, and he tries to find, like, techno dance remixes of their theme song. And sometimes it works. Most of the time it doesn't, but even when it doesn't work, it's still fun. So we were, like, 20 seconds from coming back on the air. And Nick goes, quick, give me a TV show. And I'm just like, I can't keep just, I don't think, I'm thinking about sports, not about television shows. So just threw out A-Team at him.
You did not disappoint. That was a good one.
And so he didn't have time to preview that. He just played the first A-Team remix you came up on the internet, correct?
Yeah, I played other remixes from this guy, so I trusted him.
But okay.
Then stupidly, I didn't, listen, because, I mean, they call it a bass drop for a reason. You know, that's after it builds up.
Right.
Like 30 freaking
God,
seconds.
And just, anyway, so. Welcome aboard. We appreciate you listening. Thanks so much for hanging out with ESPN 680, 1057, ESPNLouisville.com. Don't forget, go to ESPNLouisville.com and look for the link to donate to the Polar Plunge. That's a big fundraiser for Special Olympics in Kentucky. Over 10,000 athletes in this state, and even just $5 or $10. We are trying to figure out how many of our listeners are donating. It's a little bit complicated, but make sure you indicate you want to donate to Team ESPN Louisville. Maybe it's sometimes sponsored an individual ESPN Louisville jumper. It's a little bit, again, complex. But if you could find time and space in your heart to donate $5, $10 to the Special Olympics through the Polar Plunge, we would be grateful. And when it happens, which is February 22nd, assuming we can get to $3,000, which we believe we'll get to, Drew Diener, Mark Ennis, Andy Sweeney, Perrin Johnson, Nick Valvano, Patty Ice, Don Yates, and more are going to jump in the cold water. I will be emceeing the event. For those who ask, well, aren't you jumping? I am emceeing. So I will just make fun of those guys as they jump. But again, ESPNLouisville.com, look for the Polar Plunge link. And if you donate, really jump through whatever hoops you need to make sure ESPN Louisville gets credit. Not that we are looking for it for ourselves, because we just are happy that you're donating to Special Olympics, but just so we can understand, you know, the effects of this promotion, if you will. You know, we just want to understand if it worked. So anyway, thank you in advance for that.
All right, I know that the original game plan was, because Dad's a heart patient, he was going to MC and you were going to dive with us.
Oh, so that was never the plan that I was informed
that's
of.
That's what I thought it was going to be, okay. Because we wanted you to dive with us. And then when Dad went out, because he's going to be in Waco doing something, you're MCing.
I wondered why they asked me so late to do it.
Because
okay,
we wanted you to dive with us. Well, we wanted everyone to dive, and Dad even kind of, believe it or not, wanted to.
Right.
And he was like, well, I might die.
That whole heart attack thing gets him out of a lot of work.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. He definitely, I think he was like, this could be kind of fun because I could get him a wetsuit and he wouldn't feel any of it.
No, you'd still feel it.
Well, and also, I mean, he's on Vitality. I'm not sure he could fit into a wetsuit just yet. I mean, we're working on it. That's the goal. We're getting there.
Well, they make wetsuits in all sizes.
And he even would tell you. He said he wanted to get one of those, like, 1950s, like, the one that you, like, put in a fish tank that is just gigantic.
It's like
a juggernaut.
Yep.
He wanted to get one of those. But anyway, I know everyone's goal. I'm playing both sides here. I know everyone's goal is going to be to get you in the water with us, even though you're
not
seeing.
Yeah, that's not happening.
So I'm offering you my protection.
Oh, thank you.
So I'm just saying. I mean, the only guy I think that could really get past me, Perrin. Perrin's athletic and he's taller than me, but I think he likes me, so I don't think he'll do it. The only one that I think could maybe get past me is Patty Ice. He's sitting right next to me. So I'm just saying, I you got a really good chance that I can protect you. We're talking about tackling Locke and throwing him in the icy water with us.
Yeah, that's not happening. But thank you for your support that was not asked for nor required. But thank you for it.
I'm just saying.
Special Olympics that we're talking about.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about, Patty. I'm trying to offer my protection. I'm trying to offer my protection, and you don't seem to want it.
I don't need it.
I'll throw your ass in there, brother.
See? See?
That was a good drop. Mark that. All right, 437-9680. Again, it's coming up the 22nd at the Texas Roadhouse in Middletown, I believe. Yeah, that's where it is. I hope I said the right spot there. Continuing to talk about Louisville basketball and the disappointment of last night for the Cardinals, as well as just some other random stuff. 437-9680. Locke is so slimy for trying to MC and get out of jumping for a good cause. He's trash. Text line, Locke, will you be falling out of a chair into the cold water for the cause? Text line, Locke wasn't even the first choice to MC the event. Text line, Locke, how do you interpret Matt Jones's tweet? All right, a bunch of people have asked about that, and it is the Vince Merrill situation somewhat interesting, so let's just briefly go over that. He's obviously been offered, apparently by Michigan State, a potential contract of $1 million. To be the recruiting coordinator at Michigan State for their new coach, Mel Tucker. That story came out yesterday. Now, Matt's apparently update this morning. Sources tell KSR that UK has returned with a counteroffer to Vince Merrow that is essentially equivalent to the Michigan State offer. Now it's just about what he wants to do. And I talked about this earlier. If the money's the same, which it sounds essentially equivalent, is not equivalent. I mean, there's a difference there. So they may be trying to save a few dollars, which is kind of stupid. But and we've already had Round Daddy, our guy James Strebel, say just pay him more than Michigan State. Don't make it essentially the same. Just pay him more. What the hell do you care? The SEC just gave you $43 million. The new contract with ESPN is for the SEC weekly game of the week is going to give you $20 million more per year per school. Again, be aware. They used to have the CBS Game of the Week, 3:30 every Saturday on CBS. That's going to ESPN. And each school, not the conference, each school gets $20 million more per year. So starting next year, another $20 million more dollars into the Kentucky athletic budget just as a result of that one TV deal. Give Vince Merrill whatever the bleep he wants if you really want him. So what? You're paying $1.5 million for a recruiting coordinator. This is what sports is. It's all stupid, mad science, out of control nonsense. It's all ignorant wasting of money. It's all dumb. But once you pass the threshold of dumb, how much dumber can you get? Give Vince Merrill whatever he wants. Give him two. Give him five. What the hell do you care? You got $20 million more coming in from the SEC just based on that one football deal. So that's point one. What the hell are they doing just essentially equivalent? But point two, if it is, if they're just like, look, we'll match whatever the MSU offers you, then it comes down to upside, and I've said it repeatedly. Michigan State football has more upside than Kentucky. They just do, because Kentucky's never going to win the SEC East, and at least Michigan State has won their division of the Big Ten. I'm not saying that happens on a regular basis. I'm not saying there's not competition. I'm not saying a bunch of things. But Michigan State has shown they can do what Kentucky never will. So if it's just about upside, I want to go to a school where I can win my division in the sport of college football, and then that puts you in your conference championship game, and that puts you at least contending to make the playoff. Michigan State's a no-brainer. But if it's just about that, if it's about family considerations and it's cold in East Lansing and there's who knows whatever else, like I have no problem. If he turns it down, if he doesn't, whatever. But what Andy came in during the break and we were just chatting, I have not really talked about what it will mean for Kentucky if they lose Vince Merrow. It hasn't been a topic of mine because I frankly don't really take it seriously. Like I think Vince Merrow is probably posturing to get a raise. It's one of these deals where you float your name for a job and then he give you more money. I don't really think Vince Merrow's going. And frankly, I'd rather talk about basketball games that have actually occurred than potential roster moves of recruiting coordinators. But Andy, again, if you don't hear the take, afternoons 3 to 6, it would be a massive loss, says Andy Sweeney, for Kentucky to lose Vince Merrow. A, because of his recruiting skill, but B, because he's the one that provides the testosterone to the Kentucky football program. He's the one that's chesty on Twitter. He's the one that has a spine. He's the one that's not afraid to call out other schools or brag a little bit. And occasionally it's going to make him have some egg on the face with all these big dog things. And when Kentucky has their inevitable failures, because they are Kentucky, he's going to look silly. But he provides a brand for Kentucky football that Mark Stoops does not. Mark Stoops will tweet Yahtzee every once in a while. That's not a brand. Vince Merrow is UK's brand when it comes to recruiting. So I get what Andy's saying. It would be a major loss if they lost him. I also get that you can't find a guy. Recruiting is a unique skill.
Some people have that ability and some don't. So I hadn't really, to be honest, thought about what it would mean to Kentucky football if they lost Vince Marrow, because I haven't really taken this story seriously. I don't think he's going anywhere. I think it's all posturing. If and when, though, if he does leave, if that breaks by today or tomorrow, it would be a major loss for Kentucky. He's not a guy you could just say, well, we'll go hire another Vince Marrow. There's not a lot of those out there. Better go get yourself Clint Hurd. That's all you can do. Which would be so awesome, by the way, if Kentucky hired Clint Hurd. Like, I can't even describe to you how great that would be. But whatever, we'll see. But a bunch of people have been asking about that. And again, I haven't done a ton of conversation about it. It's more of a, to me, this is where we should be talking basketball. But we've gotten enough texts, and Andy was talking about it and everything else. That is the update. They've essentially matched, according to Matt, what Michigan State's offering. Vince's decision now, if he just wants to go to a place where it's the winning potential, the upside is higher, it's Michigan State. He may have other priorities or whatever. And in the end, if he does leave, that would be a major blow to Kentucky. A major blow. And if that's the case, and they think it's as big a blow as I think it is, then you got to just do more than just match Michigan State. All right, let's do a little bit of baseball talk for a second, because that's the big topic. And I just feel like you should hear this audio, because it is going to be the national story in sports. The Astros have addressed their sign-stealing scandal. And the guy that addressed it was the team president, Bob, was it Crane? John Crane? Jim Crane? I don't remember. Damn, Crane is what his name is. I'm just seeing these headlines. Anyway, but he embarrassed himself. We got a couple sound bites. And this is the Astros owner, last name Crane. I'll look up what his damn first name is. But here he is talking about the sign-stealing scandal.
Jim, sign-stealing is a distinct advantage.
No, not that one, Nick. That was the follow-up. Let's get you the first thing. This is Jim Crane, the Astros owner, talking about the sign-stealing scandal.
It's buffering. Sorry. Butchering the crap out of this.
Our opinion is, that this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We won the World Series, and we'll leave it at that.
There you go. So that's the 10-second bite. Our opinion is this didn't impact the game. We had a good team. We'll leave it at that. So then there was a follow-up, and the guy said, wait a minute, you're saying it didn't impact the game? And then he goes, oh, no, I'm not saying it didn't impact the game. And like, you just said it didn't. Anyway, so they caught him in his own, hoisted in his own petard, if you will, and his own words used against him. But then there was another follow-up with his basically implication was the sign-stealing didn't impact their ability to win the World Series. So he had just that 10-second bite alone, it would have been cause for scorn enough. Again, Jim Crane, this didn't impact the game. But then there was a follow-up from a reporter who quizzed him on that concept.
Jim, sign-stealing is a distinct advantage for the hitter. So how is it that it doesn't affect competition? So then what are you guys apologizing for?
We're apologizing because we broke the rules.
But isn't sign-stealing a distinct advantage for the hitter, so doesn't it automatically impact competition?
It could possibly do that. It could possibly not.
Okay, guys, we're going to wrap up.
I mean, good God. Has this guy, could he look more like a clown show? I mean, so as soon as he says it didn't impact the game, he goes, well, I never said it didn't impact the game. And like, but then that follow-up, it's a distinct advantage. Well, why are you apologizing then if it didn't impact the game? Well, we're apologizing because we broke the rule. Basically implying that the rule is just a dumb rule, doesn't mean anything. And she's like, well, doesn't it by definition impact competition? He's like, it could or couldn't. So anyway, so Jim Crane, he is trending, and now you know why. Those are some of the dopiest quotes you will hear. And the Astros are just going to be the team that everyone loves to hate this year, which means I'm going to have to adopt them as my favorite team. That may be the next step because I'm a natural.
Yeah, the official baseball team of the Midday Rush.
Right? Yeah.
Definitely,
I mean,
that's
got to be. Like, if Andy didn't already have a team, I would say Andy and I have to adopt the Astros because they are the heel team, which is awesome. All right, one other thing here. Where did it go? Have I closed this? Dang it, did I close it? No, I have 23 different tabs open. Yeah, I closed it by accident. Well, I actually don't, but here we go. I need to talk about something else here. I'm not going to find it. They made a copy. Gosh darn it, where is it? Somebody printed all the complaints that went to the FCC. Oh, here it is. I found it. Okay, good. 21 worst Super Bowl halftime show FCC complaints. So the FCC got 1,500 complaints about the halftime show with J-Lo and Shakira. And so SB Nation requested word for word what some of them were, and they printed what they think of the 21 best. Some of them I'm going to have to edit here, but this year's show from Florida. This year's show was extremely provocative in the female body movements, and the simulating padding of J-Lo's derriere is not for family television. That's rather tame. Let's see. I was not prepared to explain to my 11-year-old daughter why Jennifer Lopez was dressed so scantily or why she kept grabbing her crotch. My daughter was asking if she was feeling sick from having so much skin showing. Yeah, I'm sure your daughter was asking that. The Super Bowl halftime show was gross. I am 50 and ashamed I saw that evil crap on TV. What about the children? Then J-Lo had the American flag touch the ground. There should be millions of dollars in fines. Then here's one that I can't even read this because it uses a da-da-da. Oh, I can't read that one, too. Man, this one's fun, though. We live in eastern Kansas but have no TV. Thus took our 9-year-old daughter to our local small-town sports bar to watch the game. She's a farm girl, so she understands sex, but could not stop asking, Mama, what's all this? Totally confused, and as she emerges into her young womanhood, absolutely abused.
That's a great drop.
But that's also, she's a farm girl, so she understands sex. I mean, what, does she
that,
though?
That entire text was a ski, you know, the ski jump where they go up and they flip like 90 times.
Yeah.
It was, that's what that whole text was. Every time I thought they were done, they kept going,
rotation. I mean, it's fantastic.
Craziness.
Oh my God. Let's see. What few can be, J Lo should be J L O W. That was one that came to the FCC. Think about the medical term for a woman's area down there. The blank grabbing, demeaning of females have to stop. This is a family show, not a sexual predator show. Next time, just show Robert Kraft's massage parlor videos. These people in the FCC were coming on fire. Families are no longer safe viewing the game together. Drag queens are used to sell hummus. Okay. Is this how we want to raise, this is from Las Vegas, is this how we want to raise the next generation, or is it degeneration? I'm fed up with degenerates in our society sticking their asses in our children's faces. Please spank this bunch hard. That is, again, I'm getting all this stuff's going on the mixtape, I'm sure.
That got kind of erotic towards the end.
But these are complaints to the FCC after the halftime show. Let's see. You know what? I should have just quit after that Iowa one. I mean, because that was just too good. Totally inappropriate. Supposed to be family friendly, not the place for bondage ropes. How is Fox allowed to show this? You know what? We'll move on. There you go.
Oh, I just got the Degeneration X on.
Oh, you just got it going there? Well, sorry about that. Anyway, you can get that at SBNation.com if you want to read all those. There's more that were more vulgar than I can actually read on the air. And again, listen to the mixtape tomorrow afternoon at 5:30 because I'm sure a ton of those will be taken out of context and good times will be had. All right, that has wrapped it up for my hour of the V Show.
Thanks
again, we encourage Bob to get well soon. We hope to hear his voice again soon. I have no idea what's planned next here on the V Show, but
it's going to be a collection of Phil Baker, myself, Perrin Johnson, Larry O'Bannon's going to join
us. Oh, nice.
Yeah, next hour, so that'll be kind of fun.
Well, there you go. But again, there's lots to talk about. We just did the last 10 minutes on baseball and some fun stuff from the Super Bowl, but obviously the Louisville basketball losing is the big topic, and we will continue to react to the Cards and start previewing the Cats and stuff tomorrow on the Midday Rush. So until then, thank you for listening. Don't drive slowly in the left lane. Keep it tuned to ESPN Louisville.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.